And the word I want to share with you today, it's something that I went through, and is something I've been going through like years ago. And now when we have like a lot of new people coming to church and joining our teams, and they start asking questions of what we've been going through, and I see like a lot of confusion over their on their faces, and sometimes disappointment, because they find themselves into this season where they do not understand what it is and what to do with it. They don't have clarity about it, and they think the problem is with them, and they start looking for problems inside of them or like people around them. And the season that I will be speaking about, it's a season of separation or isolation or spiritual desert, whichever you want to call this season, but it's a spiritual separation and isolation, okay? And when you step into this season, this is a huge sign where God is starting preparing you for your destiny and for your calling, okay? It's very unpleasant season at first. When I was going through that, that was years and years back, I didn't have clarity, I wouldn't understand like what it is, and I also was confused, and I had so many questions for God, and at times I felt like I was praying but I wouldn't get any answers. I was asking God questions, but there was like silence. I couldn't hear him. I felt his presence. I felt that he was with me, but you ask question and there's silence. It's like he's not speaking to you. Have you found yourself in this season when you try to ask God questions like, Lord, why am I feeling this way? What's wrong with me? Did I sin? Did I open door for devil in my life and I cannot hear you anymore? Is this some kind of like demonic attack? Basically, what's wrong with me? Why am I not hearing you anymore? And then I also see people who, first of all, I just want to let you know, this is the season where you do not choose to enter. It's not by choice. A lot of times when you dedicate yourself to God, you made decision to be a radical follower of Jesus, right? You're like, okay, that's it, Lord. I'm not playing games anymore. I'm here like, I want to go after you all the way, and my life, I give you all my life, and I'm here to seek you, and I'm here to know you, and I'm putting everything aside to make you my main focus. And then a little time passes, and all of a sudden, I will describe how I was going through this. Maybe you will, some of you will recognize these symptoms, like the diagnose, we'll put the diagnose. I will bring language, maybe what's something you're feeling and you're going through and you don't understand what's wrong with you. All of a sudden, you start feeling like you are being isolated. And it's not physically. Yes, you could be in church, you could be coming to your cell group or to Sunday service, but then you try to connect to people and you feel like you cannot connect to people anymore. You try to connect to your maybe pastors or leaders. You try to share with them what you're going through, but it feels like they don't hear you or they don't understand you. You're trying to explain and it only makes sense to you, but not everybody around you. Does it sound familiar? Anybody? What? Yeah? Okay, some of you. Yeah. And then, especially those people who are extroverts by nature, and they are so used to have people around them, and they used to be invited to places and go hang out with people, supernaturally. Then I understood it was God who was behind that. At first, like I thought, I started blaming people. Like, why is nobody calling me anymore? People forgot me. Nobody is inviting me places anymore. It's like I do things like I serve, but nobody notices anymore. It's like I'm like forgotten. Yes, I'm around people. Yes, I talk to them. But it's like, you know, like you're there, but you're not there, basically. You're around people, but you feel alone. Have you had this feeling? And a lot of people, because they do not recognize what is it, because they don't have like discerning or understanding, they what they do, they allow spirit of rejection and bitterness to enter, because devil, enemy will use the situation. When God starts separating you, and I will explain why he was doing this, and I will explain you what happens into that place. When God so basically what happens when you respond to God's call and say, yes, Lord, I'm after you. And those people who are very serious about him, Jesus starts pulling them in this place of isolation. He puts like a bubble around you, okay? Bubble around you. And he will supernaturally will be start cutting out people from your life. Maybe some people that you used to be close before, like your friends, you know, you could get on the phone and for hours could share what's on your heart. And all of a sudden, like those people, they're not there anymore emotionally for you. They cannot help you anymore, or they don't understand you, or they lose interest in you for some reason. And Daniel's like, okay, why? I was like, I'm alone. Like, this is the first thing that enemy will put in your mind. You're alone. You're a weirdo. Nobody likes you. Nobody cares about you. You are unfit in this place. And he will do everything to make you leave, to make you disconnect from your, you know, home church or home group. And a lot of people, they like, you know, swallow the hook that enemy will put in their mouth, and they follow that lie of the enemy, and they will actually will leave churches. And this is the biggest mistake they do in that season. I almost got caught like that when I was just making my first steps and I was kind of learning. So I almost swallowed that, you know, that little hook of bitterness and rejection. I thought the problem with me or problem with those around me, they don't love me anymore, they don't care about me, and everything I do is like being unnoticed. So here I am in this place of isolation, and this is where interesting things started happening. Okay, so three things start happening to you. You're going through process of separation, like we mentioned, consecration and sanctification. Okay, I will explain what they mean. And when I started seeking God, and at that time, yes, I was fighting these rejection thoughts. I was fighting those like lonely thoughts. I was fighting all of that. But then Holy Spirit would start still speaking to me. But then I was like, okay, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why am I all of a sudden in this season when I don't have anybody to talk to. I'm trying, but I cannot connect with anybody. And then Holy Spirit started showing me the scriptures where Jesus, before he stepped into his ministry, he was led by Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness for 40 nights and 40 days. He started highlighting me the life of David, how he was hidden in his, also in his wilderness, tending the sheep and basically being unnoticed and unappreciated by his family. You remember when the famous prophet Samuel came into their house, nobody even called David to the house to greet the, you know, great prophet. Nobody even cared about him. He started showing me Joseph when he was rotting in that prison, forgotten by everyone for years. And like, I start looking at these people, like Moses, you remember him, right? When he was thinking that he will be a deliverer of his Israel nation, but then he was hidden in a desert for 40 years before he stepped into his calling. And then God started highlighting me all of those people who went through this process of isolation. And then God starts speaking to me like, because you have matured enough for me to start preparing you for your calling and for the destiny, for the identity that I have created you for this, the place where you will be carrier of my glory, carrier of my word. I have to prepare you. This is why I isolated you. And then I started like researching more. This was the time. It was very silent time. It lasted for quite some time. Like I said, yes, I seem to be active. I seem like doing things, but then I felt like emotionally and spiritually alone. I was like cut out from all my sources, from people who would help me, who would give me advices, who would prophesy over me. All of a sudden, I was cut out, and there was like no more voices around me. It was just me and God. And then Holy Spirit started teaching me about what it means to be us, to be consecrated. He started telling me, you are in the season of consecration, okay? And it talks about in Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 7, verse 1, this is where we see the first mentioning of that term. In that book, it said, on that day, when Moses had fully completed setting up the tabernacle and had anointed and consecrated it and all its furniture and the altar and utensils, and he had anointed and set them apart for holy use. So basically, Lord started showing me as of this parallel of tabernacle. There was a lot of objects in there, a lot of furniture. But then there's certain object was meant for holy use. They're meant to be set apart. And nobody could touch them, but only high priest. Or, you know, like high priest could only touch them. Nobody else had access to them. And look, this is what I'm doing. I'm making you holy unto myself. I'm setting you apart. So nobody can influence on you. So nobody can shape you or form you into their image of you. Okay? And then he showed me Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26. It says, then God speaks to the people of Israel. He says, and you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. You know how religion usually interprets, oh, God said you have to be holy because God is holy. It means you live sinless life. You have no room for mistakes. You have no room like for sin in your life. You have to be perfect. They set up a goal for you that nobody can achieve. Okay. But then what actually God means, you are holy unto me. It means you are set apart. You're picked and set apart only for me. Nobody can claim you. Nobody can put like their seal upon you. You are mine. You answer to me. You're accountable to me. And I want to use you. Okay? So this is what place when you step into this place of isolation or separation. I will tell you, it's not always going to be like that. It is for the time. It is for the season. But then I remember now I'm going back. I was like, Lord, I just fell in love with that season so much. Like the more I would get to know that season, the more I would encounter God into that season, the more I would revelation of what I would get of him. For me, it was really hard to get out of that season and to start connecting to people again. I love that solitude, you know, the sense of solitude and like isolation, like so much. I really had to work on myself, like to let people in emotionally again, you know, to share things. Because things, you guys, things, if you just allow God to work on you there and shape you, you will be surprised what he can do with your life and what things you will find out about him, okay? So, and I just want to share a few things that I've learned through that time of separation. And occasionally, I still find myself there because the Bible says we go from glory to glory, right? From glory to glory, from strength to strength. Thank you. My brain is a little bit, didn't have enough coffee today. Yeah. And before each breakthrough, God will isolate you to prepare you for like the next season. There will be time where you have to be set apart again to be hidden in him, okay? So things that I've learned in that season of isolation, and this is why I just fell in love with that season. So first, Holy Spirit, he starts removing destruction of this world in your life. Because a lot of times when we're just stuck in the routine of daily lives, phone calls, like coffee dates, some birthday parties, Wednesday parties, cell groups. We have so many things going on. We don't have time for God, really. Like things we have to watch, places we have to go, people we have to meet, people we have to call. And devil, especially when you are a devoted Christian, and devil knows he cannot tempt you with like sinful things like alcohol or drugs or things like that. He will make your life so busy with good things that you will be stuck, like constantly doing something, going somewhere, but inside you will be dry. You will be drying out. You will no longer feel this living water inside of you, because living water comes from Jesus, from a daily connection to Him, from daily like spending time in His presence. And devil will do everything to cut that out of your life, to make you busy with things, okay? So in this place of solitude, so if you cannot find time for Jesus, Jesus will make sure He will cut out people out of your life, friends out of your life, things out of your life, so you will have time for Him, and you will have nothing to do but just go and just spend time with Him, okay? Because He loves you so much, and He does not want to disconnect from you. He does not want you to get disconnected from Him. So, then, this is where you lose desire to compete and catch up to someone who is more successful and more popular than you. This is the place where you just, you stop caring about your position or your titles or how people see you. A lot of times people would ask me, like, who do you see yourself as? Like, where do you see yourself in the future? Who do you see yourself as? And coming out from that season, I realized, you know, I don't see myself as anything. I don't see myself nothing, because I don't think anything about myself. I ask Jesus, Jesus showed me, what do you see about me? I see about myself what He sees about me. Without Him, like, I don't need any titles. I don't need any position. You know, some people, if you take away their title or position in church or their ministry, it's like their life is over. They don't see themselves without that, you know, because all their identity was in what they were doing for Jesus. Take it away and they're ruined. That's it. The life is over. And this is in the place of solitude. Jesus starts exposing your inner motives, your inner identity, who you are. What are you attached to? What are you relying on? What makes your image? What makes your identity? Okay, so in that place of solitude, He just cleans you out from that false image. Yes, what we do here, it's good. And it's, yes, He entrusted us to steward His house, to take care of His house, and to serve our brothers and sisters with the gift that He gave us. But this is not my identity. My gift, my anointing, it's not my identity. If you are a teacher, teacher is not your identity. It's a gift that He has given you. And once we leave this earth, the gift will return to God. It's not yours. It was given to you for a time to serve the body of Christ. So please stop identifying yourself with the function that you do or with the ministry that you do. And if He asks you to step away or give it to Him, like now, after going through that season of isolation and solitude, by tasting the goodness of His presence, of having this connection to Him when He's speaking to you, when you have this direct connection, like everything else is just secondary. My ministry is secondary. My title is secondary. Everything is secondary. He takes the center. And this is where Jesus wants to bring you. He wants to be number one. He wants to be your identity. He wants to show you who you are. But in meanwhile, yes, He will entrust you certain things. But again, He wants you to step in those things as mature son of God and daughter of God. Okay. So number two, this is where Jesus, God starts molding your character. He starts shaping your character. A lot of people, they dream about ministry. They dream about, and I remember like from the days when I like ministered and encounters, and on the last day when before people go home, and people just needed to know, I need pray for me. I need to get a vision for my life. I will not leave this place until I get a vision for my life. I need to know who I am. I need to see what I will be doing for Jesus. So they think their vision for their lives, it's something to do for Jesus. Okay? And they think they dream about the platform. And that's, yeah, that's a good thing. If God places that dream in, like into your heart, that's a good thing to dream and start seeing yourself and start believing that. But it's not something that should take over you, and this is all you dream about and this is all you want. It's just as one of the bonuses He's giving you. He's rewarding you for loving Him. He's entrusting you with part of His kingdom to carry a certain level of glory, to carry a certain level of gift for Him. And but a lot of times people don't realize that 70% of your ministry and serving, 70%, like pastors probably maybe will give me accurate number, it's rejection, unbelief, accusations, betrayals. That would be about 70% of your ministry. And about 30 is where you get like thank you, recognition, where people actually acknowledge you. Only 30% of that, if you look at the whole, like things, like a whole spectrum of things that you have to deal with. And a lot of people, they don't realize what they're asking for. And even look at Jesus, and some people, and a lot of times people will think once they step into their calling, everything will be smooth. All doors will be open in front of them. The portal of heaven will always overflowing over them, and they will be, you know, walking every day. They will wake up anointed, in the good mood, because God placed them into that place of their calling. No, a lot of times you will not even want to wake up, get up and go to your cell group, because yes, you love those people, but a lot of times they will just drive you crazy with their problems, with their questions, questioning everything, doubting everything, criticizing you. A lot of times you will just not want to show up to your own cell group. You know, this is another medal of, you know, ministry that people don't know about and they want for. And even Jesus, if you think you are, if you are experiencing that in your ministry and you think people treat you unfairly and you're about to give up, I just want to let you know that look at ministry of Jesus. 200 people unfollowed Him. Okay, sometimes we stress about 2 people unfollowed you on Instagram, right? And you're already like, I'm losing my followers. Hey, 200 people unfollow Jesus in one day just because He said they will be eating His flesh and drinking His blood. Okay? A lot of time, Jesus, remember time when Jesus would travel back into His hometown, Nazareth, and He loved those people. He wanted to heal them. He wanted to show them miracles, and He couldn't heal any single person because they wouldn't believe the Son of God walking in flesh among them, and they would not believe in that, in Him. Jesus had to deal with rejections, accusations. Remember the time when Pharisees was accusing Him of casting demons out by the power of Beelzebub, with the, basically casting out demons with the demonic power. He was accused of being demonic. So this is what God is preparing you in that isolation place, in that place of separation. He is working on your backbone. He is working on your character. So you would withstand to criticism, so you would be resilient no matter what things are coming against you, what accusations are coming against you. And because believe me, you will be criticized for things that you do. You will be criticized how you pray, how you preach, how you play your instrument, how you sing. You will be criticized for people. You will not get away. If you will be a prophetic artist, people will find something to criticize you for. You will be prophet, you will be criticized. So it's something, it's just another package. It's like the whole package. When people step into their, you know, calling and ministry, they have to take the whole package. You cannot just take good things out of it, you know, recognition, popularity, and leave everything else behind. No, you have to sign contract for the whole package. And a lot of people, they don't want to do that, okay? So in the place of isolation, this is where God forms your character. He makes you resilient. He cuts out those emotions that react on people like negativity. You just dead to that. You just be like, I don't care anymore. Like, I get criticized a lot for, you know, for certain things. And I realized, like, I don't care. Why am I not caring anymore? I just know who I am. I know who I, like, I know my Jesus is pleased with me. I'm here to please him, not people. Yes, I do, like, minister sometimes and I do things for him, but I'm here for him. If he tells me to step away any moment, I'm ready, Jesus. Like, more time for, I don't know, hiking or for good things, you know, things I love. I'm a very outdoor person. I love to spend time outdoors. Like, more things for you, you know, Lord. This is absolutely not holy, but I do this because I said yes to you, Jesus. And I do this because I love you. You entrusted this to me. And until my time is up, I will do what I do. And I'll be where he wants me to be. And that's very simple. So he has to work in that place of separation and isolation. He will work on your resilience and being resistant to things coming at you, words being said at you. Number three, this is where you start hearing his voice clearly. Okay, this is the place where he disconnects you from other voices. There was a time, and we talk about this all the time, you would listen to certain preachings or listen to your favorite teachers, and your spirit would be feeding on it. And then all of a sudden you just lose all satisfaction. You try to open a book and it's just like dry, nothing. You try to turn on your favorite prophet or preacher and it's like nothing. It's like dry. So this is where God starts cut off other voices. He wants you to go on the mountain. Remember the mountain of Zion, the place of his dwelling place, his throne room. He wants you to go up there and learn how to start feeding yourself of his hand. Not from somebody else's hand given to you, but you need to learn how to access there and start eating from him and drinking from him. So you will lose that satisfaction. So, and again, a lot of people think that church is not moving anymore, like the church is dead, but which in reality, God is reconnecting you to him, okay? And it also happens in a place of separation and isolation. And he will teach you how to, in times of trouble, to not to reach out to the phone and cry out to a minister or to leader of your cell group, please pray for me. I have demonic attacks coming in my life. You know, like, I didn't get paid or somebody stole money from my account. This is like demonic attack and people's like hysterically or whatever situation they have. The first problem they deal with, they're reaching out to the phones, asking somebody to help to pray for them. And this is the place where God starts disconnecting. Like, nope. A lot of times when I was going through those times and my first reaction to grab the phone and to call somebody, to ask them to pray for me, to help me emotionally, spiritually. And then Holy Spirit's like, nope, nope, put the phone down. But God, I need emotional support. I'm like broken. This hell is like attacking me. I need somebody. I need to hear somebody's voice. I need somebody to speak into my life. Like, no, put the phone down. You will put the phone down. You will learn how to get into my presence. You will learn how to how to receive peace from me in my presence. You are not allowed to call people anymore. And that's how God reconnected. I was like, oh wow, that's actually not that hard. Once you taste it, believe me, you will not want to seek people's help anymore, because no person can help you as Jesus can help you and support you. No person can give you peace and assurance and confidence as Jesus can. So this is the place, if you found yourself in the place of isolation, I know it will be hard at first, especially if you used somebody to minister all the time to you. You will learn how to put that phone down and just seek him, just get into the presence and seek, you know, for answers and seek for his word. Yeah, I remember, and this is very important, because there you learn how to recognize his voice Because like we spoke before, God is always speaking to you. The problem is we have so many voices. We're feeding off from so many voices. And his voice just gets lost in so many voices. So a lot of times we just need to cut off all of these voices to start hearing from him. I remember this time, it was a crucial time in my life. If I would make just one choice, my life would go into completely different direction. I don't know where I would be today. I know I shared this before, but a long time ago, like pastors, they know about the situation, long, like many years ago when the first church and it fell apart. And I had such good friends. I was youth at the time. I was part of youth ministry. And can you imagine all my friends, they left church at that time. They all left. And they said like, well, like Lana, there's no future here. You know, everything fell apart. Everything is closing down. Like, are you going with us? We already found a cool church and we will be part of it. We already have some nice, you know, projects coming up, and you will not be, you know, on the side. You will be also participating. But deep inside, I felt something just did not feel right. I'm standing there and thinking, I was like, Lord, all of them cannot be right. And I'm like, no, all of them cannot be wrong and I'm right. Why am I feeling this? Like I have this feeling that I need to stay, and not to leave. And then I told them like, okay, guys, you can go. I need to pray about it because I feel like there's something more to it. I just need to pray. And I took time. I went to my room and I started praying like, Lord. And at that time I was on fire for God. Like, Lord, I don't care. If you tell me to go to Pentecostal church and put covering on my head, I would do that. I would put covering on my head. I would go to Pentecostal if you tell me to go there. I was like radical. I will wash off all my makeup. I will put on a skirt. If that's your will, I will go there. If this is your will for me to go, just tell me. I was not, you know, holding on any person, not on my friends, not on my pastors. Like, Lord, I need you to tell me, where am I supposed to be? What is my next step? And then this is the first time I've heard Lord speaking to me. You know, when you say like, oh, I'm praying, God is not answering, you've been not be asking. When you actually ask him, he will answer you. If you just take time to listen and to hear, he will answer. And the first time I held, it was not a physical voice, but it just like gentle voice in your heart. You will not confuse it with anything. And he said, like, if you leave, you will miss out on something big. This is all he said. If you leave, you will miss out on something big. So I'm coming back out of that room next day. I'm meeting up with my like youth, like friends. I was like, guys, I'm staying. God told me to stay. I'm like, are you crazy? Where are you staying? Everybody left. There's nothing. There's no church. There's no, what are you staying? What are you going to do? Like, I have no idea, but I just need to stay. And then one thing after another, and here we are today with the global ministry, encounters, you know, so many amazing things God was doing during the years. And I was like, Lord, if I just did not go to that room, if I was just followed the crowd, where would I be today? What my life would be like today? Because like when I look at a lot of them, the years passed, some of them, they went back like living worldly lives. Some of them just became really religious, like, you know, not even believing anything anymore. Some of them just became lukewarm, you know, they just go to church, you know, just put check mark and go home. I was like, Lord, I just could be one of them. If I just did not, you guys, it's so, so important. You have to just allow God into that process. Yes, I was alone at the time. I lost all my friends. They thought I was crazy. I would not for maybe a year or so, I would not get any phone call. I would not get invited anywhere except for the cell group that I was continuing to go. But I didn't have friends of my age. My friends became like when you were like, what, 18 years old and your friends are married couples with kids. I mean, that's not much. That's not how my youth supposed to be. But I knew like, Lord, I have no idea what's going on, but I know you told me to stay and here I am. And you know what? After years, it paid off. I see why. I see why God told me. I see where I am. So it's so important and so crucial to allow God to put in the process where you don't understand what's going on, but you know he placed you there. Be obedient and go through the process till the end. So Next, number four. I will not keep you for too long, but this is very important. I'm sure, like, I know some people are going through this season, and I know it will help you. It will give you some keys, okay? So number four, like I mentioned, he stripped away the noise of other people's opinions on my life. He reconnected me to him, so I was transforming into his image about him. Know how people saw me? Because when you, especially in the age of social media, I just feel so bad for our kids who have to grow up with this pressure of how you have to look like, what cars should you drive, what clothes you should wear, you know, where you should go on vacations, what your house has to be, and they have to live to, with this like false image that they have constantly catch up. Thanks goodness that we did not have social media and we didn't know what was going on in our neighbor's house. We thought our houses was perfect, you know? But when you start like looking at these perfect houses, perfect love, lives, perfect couples who never fight, I was like, Lord, like what's wrong with me? I have two kids. My house is always a mess, you know? Me and my husband always argue about something. We cannot agree where we want to go on vacation or what we want to eat, you know? And things like that. Like, but back then, you know, it was all okay. And can you imagine this generation, they have to live. That social media have to tell them, you know, how they're supposed to look and how much pounds they have to weigh. So this is the place of isolation when Lord is just removing all these noises like, nope, I made you this way. I see you this way. I made you for this, and for that. I will be using you there, there, there. And then you just start dying for all of those opinions. You don't care about that anymore. Yes, so what? Somebody drives nicer car than me. So what? Somebody has nicer brands than me. So what? How does it even matter? It doesn't, I'm connected to Jesus. I'm going deeper. I'm thriving. This is what matters to me, you know? And he gathers right people around me, about people of the same spirit who don't care about all of that stuff as well. And we're together on fire for Jesus. We're pursuing him. We're, you know, making goals and we're going after Jesus together. So this is what became important. And this is what he wants you, like, he wants to do for you. He wants to disconnect from all of that false image, for like false voices in your lives. Yes. So a lot of also like when new people, they start coming to our prayer groups, like not too long time ago, we opened our prayer group for new people to come. And interesting that people who start coming to prayer groups, all of a sudden they start having like weird attacks coming into their lives. It's like devil, like enemy starts noticing them. It's like they becoming target number one. And they always share, oh man, I'm going through this. Until like I didn't go to prayer group, my life was okay. You know, when I did not pray as much as I pray now, my life was okay. Everything was so smooth. I had good relationship with my family, with my relatives, with my coworkers. Everything was fine. As soon as I stepped into life of prayer and intercession, like what is going on? My life is constant battle, constant struggle. And they said like, you guys, we look at you and it feels like you guys don't have any battles anymore. Can you tell us when will it end? When it will be over? How long did it take you? I was like, do you want me really tell you the secret? It will never end. It will never end. It's just like over the years we learn how to like to have like thick skin, I would say, to go along. Yes, we deal with things, but we don't lose our focus. And God just gave us this supernatural peace that, yes, devil tries to bite us here and there, trying to create artificial problems, you know, and make them so big to get your focus away. This is what actually he does. He makes a small problem and he makes it so big just to get your focus off the main thing, out of the ultimate goal. Look what Jesus says in John 16:33. And everything I have taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. Jesus didn't say, oh, you might experience some trouble. You might go through things. No, Jesus tell them directly, like, you will go through sorrows. You will go through some troubles. But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. So this is his promise. But Jesus said, like, no matter what you're going through, you don't have to worry. As long as you stay with me, connected to me, I will take care of it. Yes, I will allow you to experience storms in your life. But then I want you to learn how to be dependent on me amidst all of that. I want you to learn how to sleep in that boat when winds are taking over, when waves are crashing into your life. I will take you out from there. You will. I want you to be rooted in me. I want to learn how to stand on the rock, which is Jesus. Okay? That's, yes, give him glory. He wants, so he will fight those battles. He will never ever put you in the battle that you are not ready for. So if you're going through something in your life and you know it's, you did not cause it, it was not initiated by you, just like, Lord, you are training me, you making me strong. Because also every situation that comes into your life meant to make you stronger, not to crush you. It will only crush you when you step out of his presence, and then you are easy target for the enemy. You are done. So as long as you in Jesus, you are safe. And now looking back, at that time, my problems, they used to be, they looked so huge because I couldn't see what's on the other side of them. And I thought, that's it. This is the end. There is no exit out of it. There is no way to get out. Like, I don't know how we're going to deal with it. That's it. It's over. And then, yes, panic would come, you know, anxiety would try to cripple in. Yes, emotions would, you know, would be all over the place. But then somehow it just, like, by itself, Jesus just would take care of things and things would calm down and work out. And now I'm looking back, okay, if I knew then what I know now, I would not react that way. Jesus, like, I'm so sorry that I did not trust you. I'm so sorry that I allowed my fear to take over me. And this is what devil will try to do. He will try to, you know, mess with your emotions to make the problem so big, so to get Jesus out of your focus. But in the time of isolation, that's what he's teaching you, how to rely on him, not on people, not on your pastor, not on your leader. No, but like, okay, this is the time you will be learning how to be relying on me. And we're almost there, guys, we're almost there, but this is, I just want to kind of to bring it to conclusion what Jesus is doing. Why? What is he, okay, we're talking about preparation, right? But what is he preparing us for? What is it all for? So I want to read 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, for indeed, we are the temple of the living God. Just as God has said, I will make my home in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. What a nice, what an awesome promise. God says, like, I chose you. I picked you to live in you. I made you as my home. And, but like when we said Jesus living in you, God living in you, his power, his authority, signs, wonders, miracles, his glory, his authority, everything, you name it, this is what lives inside of you. Isn't that nice? Can you imagine you show up to Starbucks and then people, like, you know, demons are start coming out there, you know, things are getting manifesting and, you know, and demons leaving people just right when you step in, like it was in Day of Apostles. You go to the park and somebody get delivered right on a spot, you know, outside of the walls of church. And just like, this is where I want to bring you. This is where I want to take you, you know, to the greater level of my glory. But then there's a second part that people don't want to read and they just kind of try to skip it. They focus on the promise, which is awesome. But then there is a verse 17 and 18. Paul says, so there is a condition of God living in you and making you as his temple. For this reason, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch nothing that is unclean, and I will embrace you. I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty. So there has to be a condition. You have to come out, and you have to be separated from the crowd. Even not just from the crowd on unbelievers, but you, like, God will even separate you from the crowd of believers who just go to church, you know, just being safe, like being saved is enough for them. But God will even pick you out to be that little remnant of those who just crazy in love with Him, who decided like to be set apart for Him, for, you know, just walking righteously, like walking in purity before Him. He will start setting you apart because He wants to live in you. He wants to fill you up. A lot of times God cannot dwell in us because we're still full of worldly garbage. And because we don't have boundaries, especially in the last days, we see Christianity, what it turned to. It's just such a miserable sight when people don't have any morals anymore. Christians don't have any morals anymore. It's okay for Christians to drink alcohol. It's okay for Christians to smoke cigarettes. It's okay to go to the parties when they, you know, listen to all kind of music with swearing words. It's okay for them to watch rated R movies and they still consider themselves Christians. And then they're asking, Lord, why we're not seeing your glory? Why we're not seeing your power? Why we're not seeing you moving? There is a condition. Okay, he says, you have to come out and be separate. Touch nothing that is unclean. Okay, actually, I get asked a lot by people who do not go to our church, and they know that we have covenant with God. We don't use alcohol. I don't care if it's beer, wine for appetite, champagne on New Year's. No, like none of that. And they're just asking, like me personally, like, why are you guys so strict? I mean, it's okay to drink like champagne. You cannot get drunk on that. You cannot, like, Jesus drank wine all the time. And they always, you know, they bring this argument. Well, Jesus went to the wedding and he turned water into wine. And I ask them, but did he drink it? But did he actually drink it? Do you really? And they always try to use example. Jesus, sure, yes, he turned water into wine for those guests. But does it ever say he actually drank that wine that he turned into? And then if you, like, you know, at one season of my life, God actually started speaking to me very strictly and very clearly. Like, yes, I cannot make you. Yes, it doesn't say in the Bible, yes, don't drink alcohol, do not smoke cigarettes, because they did not invent them at the time. But once you grow into relationship and a closer and closer relationship, Holy Spirit start revealing things that actually offend Him, things that defile you, and things that will not allow you to get closer. So I usually tell them, if you are okay on that level of God where you're at, please drink all you want, smoke all you want, listen to what you want and what. It's your walk with Jesus. It's your walk. It's your life. But I want to go further. I want to experience the fullness of Him, and I will not allow anything to defile me or to allow anything to make me dirty. So Holy Spirit is uncomfortable to live in me. And, you know, actually Jesus, like speaking of like one thing that they don't want to see, Jesus was, he was Nazarene. You know, Nazarene, it's not just because of the name of Nazareth, because Jesus grew up in the city of Nazareth. But Nazarene, it's actually a title that belonged to people. It came in Old Testament when, I think it's all actually in Numbers. You can live it on your own in Numbers. Chapter 6, when there was a group of people among Israelites, and God told them, maybe I'll just can read it a little bit. So God said to Moses, say to the sons of Israel, when a man or woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite, that is the one separated and dedicated to the Lord, he shall abstain from wine, strong drink, and like a lot of things, like, you know, they could not touch dead, they could not, you know, cut their hair. Prophet Samuel was Nazarite. than Samson. And actually Jesus, he was also like Nazarene or Nazarite. It means set apart, chosen by God. And if you read like in Mark, when Jesus in the process of crucifixion, when he was crucified and he was going through this agony and torture. And remember the Roman soldiers, they tried to give him drink like wine and vinegar. And Jesus did not take the drink till the end, to the last breath of his body, because he was set apart. And like, just like it was in Numbers, that group of people who was set apart, Jesus was part of that group. He was commissioned, he was chosen, he was set apart from the beginning. So Jesus did not take that wine and the vinegar. He refused to take that, even though he was thirsty and he was dying there. And it would relieve him, actually, if he did, but he did not. He stayed faithful to his call. He stayed faithful to his, to the purpose, what he came for. Okay. So, and I know in these last days, God is also raising these people like spiritual Nazarites who are set apart, who are holy unto the Lord. Holy, not because you don't have any mistakes and you're sinless, but holy because you chose the life to be set apart. Yes, a lot of times you will be misunderstood. You will be made fun of. You know how many times I was made fun of? There's some weddings, you know, like your family, like relatives who have some alcohol at the weddings and, you know, they have bar and everybody comes and gets a drink, you know, and here you are just drinking Martinelli, apple cider, you know, and they're just making fun of you. It's like, it's just one glass. Like, why are you so, what, are you so holy? Are you so perfect? You know, yes, like I'm holy. I'm holy unto the Lord, you know. So they don't understand you. They think you're like some kind of like sect or, you know, crazy or like fanatic or something like that. But I don't care. And I know a lot of times we'll have to pay price for our covenant with Jesus, for our promise to him. So this is the word I wanted to share today. Let's just get up and we will pray. And I just want to pray for those people who are in those season. If you feel like you're in the season of seclusion, solitude, isolation, it's like you're separated and you don't understand what's going on. This is like, I just want to congratulate you. God picked you out. He chose you. He's preparing you for something big in your life, for the new doors, for your destiny, where he's shaping you. He's forming you. He's building up your character. He's just shaping into the image that he prepared for you. So, Lord, I bless every single one in this room. I thank you, Lord, that you picked us. You chose us, that you placed us into this season. We say yes to your process. We say yes to your process, and we agree to go till the end, even though we don't know what it looks like on the other side, even though we don't know how our future looks like, but we know on the other side, you are there. You will lead us out of that season. You will walk us into your doors, into your open doors. And I'm asking Holy Spirit to protect your sons and daughters, to separate them, to set them apart from the spirit of this world, so they stay pure, so they stay completely devoted to you. And I just break the voices of the enemy in their mindsets. I just break and rebuke and silence the voices of the lying spirit. We just want to break off the spirit of rejection and bitterness. This is not the rejection. This is the place where God supernaturally placed you in to prepare you for your big destiny. We thank you, Jesus. And let's just give him glory. Let's just glorify him.